This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Vayishlach Heitavshin Ayin Ches, with the participation of an august group of Bnei Aliyah, Bnei Torah, from Flatbush, Queens, and beyond. And it's a schus to be able to give this share to such Bnei Torah. Vayivosei Yaakov Levadoi, Vayavik Yishimoy Adolais HaShochar. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, teaches us that Yaakov Avinu was left alone, and he crosses back over the tributary Yabik, and he struggles with Sarai Shel Esav, the Malach HaMoves, the Satan, the Yetzirah, Ad Alois HaShochar, until the dawning of the new day, which means the coming of Mashiach, says the Medrash. We're fighting with this rascal. And it was all over Pachim Tan. Now, you have to realize that there's a very deep message that's being taught over here. Hard to understand why Yaakov Avinu, a wealthy man, is going to be struggling over Pachim Tan. I mean, do you endanger your life for a nickel, a quarter, jump onto the subway tracks? Doesn't make sense. He's a ishtam yeshev eholim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him any financial wherewithal, it translates into ruchnius. By Talmud Chochem Chovaleim M'mayna Migufam, does that make sense to you? That a Talmud Chochem is willing to endanger his physical corporal being for a dollar? Teretz is, for Esav, a dollar is gashmius. So he's not going to jeopardize his life for his pinky because the money is only to get a nice manicure. But for Yaakov Avinu, dollars mean lulav, esrog, matzah, kashrus, tzedakah. So to him, the reason for resources is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chaviv Moleim Amoinim Yesem Yigufam didn't recognize you with that beard. Is because of the welcome, is because of the fact that the Gashmius means Ruchnius. That's the level he transcended to. But what we're going to discuss is the fact that nothing in Yiddishkeit can be attributed to coincidence. Everything is Ashkacha Pratis, which means that the direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means divine intervention and providence. You want to know which way to go? Look at the hand of God. Where is the hand of God? Divine providence, intervention, Hashgacha Pratis. This is how it works. Two events taking place 1,000 years apart. Yaakov's struggle with the Malach of Esav and Klal Yisrael's battle against the Yavonim, the Greeks, and the greater enemy from within, the acculturists, the Hellenists, those that had assimilated, the time of the Chanukah Nes, she had one thing in common. Pach Shel Shem, a small jug of oil. They both evolve from this Pach Shem. The Medrash says it was the same Pach Shem. What's the commonality between the two? Well, the simple connection is that Yaakov Avinu struggles with the Yetzirah 1,000 years before, and that oil is the vehicle for the Nes Chanukah to ensure that Klal Yisrael wins against assimilation and acculturation. So when you're struggling, you come back from Eretz Yisrael, you're exhausted, and you go to Yeshir, you're struggling not just with the Yetzirah of today, but of 1,000 years from now. That's an incredible lesson. Right then and there, we can finish the Yeshir. The oil of the Pachim Ketana that Yaakov Avinu came back for, crossing the river Yabok and fighting Sarai Shel Esav, is the oil of Chanukah. That's the very same struggle. They lit the Shemen of Yaakov Avinu. You fight the good fight today, and your grandchildren have the tools and fuel to light the menorah. That's an incredible message right there. But I want to take it a little bit deeper. Chazal relate, Yankiv comes back. He had successfully brought his entire family and his possessions across the tributary Yavok. And now he comes back and he's isolated from his family. Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. A dangerous condition for a Jew. You always have to be connected. You know how strong this Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai is? It's an unbelievable thing. You know what the Medrash says? The Medrash says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. Yaakov is left alone. The Medrash says on that, V'niskov Hashem Levadai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone is in an elevated sphere that no one can attain. One leads to the other. Aside from being a fantastic niggin, V'niskov V'niskov Hashem Levadai. Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. It's a great niggin. The Medrash is just not rhyming words. V'niskov Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. V'niskov Hashem Levadai. It's action-reaction. The result of Yaakov Avinu's Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai is simultaneously V'niskov Hashem Levadai. You know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was uplifted? Every time you fight the Yetzar. You don't speak Lashon Hara. You don't eat what you're not supposed to eat. You daven properly and don't shmooze during Chazaras HaShatz. You are creating a V'niskov Hashem Levadai. Because you win. Hashem wins. It's simple. It doesn't say V'niskov Hashem Levadai after Yaakov battles Sarai Shalesov and he changes his name. You battled me and you won Yisrael. Now, at the beginning of the fray, at the get-go, you identify the enemy and you start fighting with him. V'niskov Hashem Levadai. What a koyach this parshemen had. It released in Yaakov Avinu the ability to fight Sarai Shalesov. And from the moment he starts struggling with him, battling for his physical life and his spiritual life, V'niskov Hashem Levadai. What an incredible lesson. But what's the connection to Chanukah? He's all alone then. Well, you know what? The key to Klal Yisrael's success, Chanukah, was to be all alone. Hein om levodod yishkoi. What a gevaldige bracha. Kol zman, they were integrated, assimilated, acculturated. They didn't know the nose from their face. They didn't know what was up and what was down, what was light and what was darkness. This matzav of Hellenism, of misyavnim, is the worst. You know, it's very interesting. We had Golas Mitzrayim. We didn't have mismatzrim. One person did one avera the whole time they were in Mitzrayim. Amaisis Nus. One person. We're going to keep his name unidentified. Bavel, there were no mismavlim. Edoim, no mismadmim. But we have Misyavdim until this very day. The battle continues. That is when Klal Yisrael won the war. When they separated themselves from the Yevonim, from being Misyavdim, by Yevosei Yaakov Levadai, V'niskov Hashem Levadai. There's an unbelievable parallel between the battle of Yaakov Avinu with Sarai Shalesov, by Yevosei Yaakov Levadai, and the battle with that jug of oil that the Yevonim contaminated all the oil. Because they drew again into that koyach of Vayivaser Yaakov Levadai. They became the Am HaNivchor. They separated themselves from any assimilation and acculturation. So this is also a direct connection between Yaakov Avinu's struggle with Sarai Shalesov being all alone and creating the Niskav Hashem Levadai, and 1,000 years later, the Yevonim, the Chashmonoim, the battle of Jewish identity and continuity. You know, Federation of Minnesota had a $10 million study. They were worried, Jews are disappearing. Identity and continuity. If they spent $10 million, they still didn't get it. You know identity and continuity? It's the day school called Torah Academy. It's the yeshiva of Minneapolis. It's the kollel, community kollel. It's Kehillah Beis Yisrael. That's identity and community. Should have put $10 million into the infrastructure of identity and continuity. Those are the ones who are making Aliyah. Those are the ones who are identifying with Israel. And those are the ones that are staying Jewish. When you band together as one, and you create an incredible Kila, and you're besimcha, you attract people, mamish, to the honey of Torah. That's the whole essence. That was Chanukah. That was the battle with Sarai Shalesov. and the battle continues until this very day. And the arsenal is the same arsenal. They fought against Torah, it's Torah. It's Reish Chodesh, it's Mila, the physical identity of being a Jew. This is all part of Vayivasa Yaakov Levadai. The battle of the Chashmonaim against the Yevanim and the Misyavnim was a battle of separation, of recognizing the greatness of the Jewish people. And that's the oil, right? The Svasemes, Kiyadua, the Maral says, why was the miracle with oil? Because oil is the one commodity that when you mix it with other liquids, it separates. Says the Svasemes, it rises to the top. You take a salad shaker that you're going to have salad dressing in, and you put in oil and vinegar, you shake it up, you shake it up, you shake it up. After 3 minutes, the oil separates from the vinegar and rises to the top. That's why the miracle is with oil. Because hein is a lashon yechidi, says the Maral. Hein constitutes this and nothing else. Arba avos tzikin, hein, only four avos tzikin. Hein means these and no others. That's Klal Yisrael. Hein yiras Hashem hichachma. It's the only chachma. They wanted to acculturate and synthesize Torah with other knowledges. They didn't throw away the Torah. So it's like everything else. Klal Yisrael went to war protecting the sanctity and the unique nature of the Torah HaKadosha. That was learned from Yaakov Avinu. Vayivasa Yaakov Levadai, goes back and he fights Sar Shalitzov and he gets elevated and Veniskav Hashem Levadai. Just recognize the enemy. The Yevonim and the Misyavnim, their sympathizers, vandalized, destroyed, defiled virtually everything that was holy in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything but a small jug of oil, which was sealed with the imprint of the Kohen Gadol. Even though these two jugs of oil were 1,000 years apart, a millennium separated them, nevertheless, they were the catalyst that led to the destruction of Sarei Shalesov. They led to the destruction of evil. He was defeated by Yaakov Avinu eventually. And through that last vestige of Kedusha, that last jug of oil, B'chesamei Shal Kohen Gadol, they were able to kindle the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash and proclaim victory over assimilation, over Hellenism, over the Misyavnim. What's the connection? Why Dafka oil? A fascinating thing. Yaakov's jug of oil and the jug of oil found by the Chashmonaim are underscored by a Moiridika Arachaim HaKadosh. This Arachaim HaKadosh is Niflin Nevelt. In Perek, Kapitel Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud, there's an unbelievable statement that's made by Yaakov Avinu. Shteta Azai. Yom Esav Yeshli Rov Achi Yilcha Hashalach Yilcha Hashalach. What are you giving me this tribute for? What are you going to live on? How are you going to exist? Yom Esav Yeshli Rov Achi Yilcha Hashalach. Keep what's yours. I'm the king of the world. Yom Yaakov Alno Imno Matzasi Chaim Beinecho Lo Kachta Minchosim Yodi. Take my tribute. And ultimately, Yaakov Avinu tells Esav, I have enough. Yeshli Kol. I got it all. What does he mean by saying Yeshli Kol? Yeshli Kol, I have everything? How could Yaakov say he has everything? Listen to this. It's unbelievable. Dr. Chaim HaKadosh Ba'omroi Kol Shu Bechina HaKadusha Shenikros Kol. Do you know every Jew possesses a special everything? A holy everything? The Kedusha that's called Kol. To have everything is to possess holiness. Kishetia Musegez Be'odah when a person has spiritual sensitivity, he has a hasoga, he has a grasp of spiritual things, he reaches that level of hasoga. Ein hachasoron oisoroshim. Whatever's lacking doesn't make an impression. There's nothing lacking in your life. Yesh likoil. And in fact, what's lacking, it's meramis to the bracha of Klal Yisrael being compared to the choil. What happens with sand? Says Yerachem HaKadosh, Shachosa nishlo mi'atzmoy. Any sand that's depleted by stepping on it is refilled immediately. There's no vacuum. It's immediately filled by sand. That's what sand's all about. Constantly shifting and always replenishing and refilling. There's no such thing as a hole of sand. There's no such thing as sand that's been gone, taken away, doesn't exist anymore. Anything sacred never becomes depleted. Now you think it means Samech Bechelka? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean I don't have anything, it doesn't bother me because I'm Samech Bechelka. It's not a mindset, it's a reality. This Kedusha called Koel means you have it all the time and nothing is depleted. Yankiv says, Yeishli Koel, you're not taking anything away from me. Because I'm going to have it replenished immediately. This is Kedusha that I'm giving you. This is a tribute of Chav Mamayinam Yosef Yigufa, of a tzaddik that's transcended the physical and the spiritual. But the Gashmias of a tzaddik means Stoka. This is Koel. This is coming right back to me. Nothing is going to be missing or lacking in my life. Even if one is required to yield a little bit, as Yankiv did by giving this tribute to Esau, you can be assured that whatever is lost is immediately replaced. That's why Klal Yisrael is offered a bracha. That what we compared to the sand, Chavir Chas Yisrael Kachol, Shachos Nishla Me'atzmai, Bi Bracha Bechinazu Kol, Usoi Kad HaKemach, like Cholso Nishla Me'atzmai. It's like that jug, that container of flour that is never depleted. Whatever anything is taken from, it's right away replenished. What are we talking about? Alachim Aleph, Kapitel Yud Zayin, Sukim Tezayin. The jug of flour and the cruse of oil that Eliyahu Anavi gave to that Almonah. She supported Eliyahu Hanavi. By giving Eliyahu Hanavi, she was supported forever. Since the package of flour, the jug of oil, was used for a mitzvah, it was part of this cake, this mincha that she prepared for Eliyahu Hanavi, they never ceased to exist. And every time she took out the flour to bake a cake, it was immediately replenished. The jug of oil, that was never empty, was never missing anything. If it was a gallon of oil, it remained a gallon of oil for decades. Since it was used for a mitzvah, it attained the kedusha of koil, and was always replenished. It sounds like a deep word. It's pretty simple. Eliyahu Hanavi, by being given a cake made from this oil and made from this flour, that jug of oil, that container of flour, became koil, became sanctified. And once it's sanctified, it's never ever depleted. It's immediately replenished. The kachava, she had that for years and years. Vos Dr. Chaim HaKadosh. Yankiv refuses immediately, spontaneously, openly, this wonderful offer of Esau. Esau tells him, my brother, Yeloch Hashelecha, keep what you have. Yankiv says, Yesh li kol. I have the attribute of koil. This is the enduring ability of anything that's kadosh, that's sacred, to replenish itself. Have no fear, whatever tribute I give you, my brother, will be amply replaced. Listen to what the Archaim HaKadosh is saying. We can apply this to the Pach Shemen that Yaakov returned for, and the Pach Shemen of the Nes of Ner Chanukah with the Menorah, that little cruse of oil that burned for 8 days. That they found it, even though the Yevonim vandalized, destroyed, profaned, Umatama, all the oils. What a miracle. It's the miracle of Jewish survival. It constantly plunges. It can't be lost. In each instance, whether it was Sari Shalesov or the Yevonim and the Siavnim, they were bent upon demolishing Klal Yisrael's financial base. The Mishnah Novus, Kapitel Gimel, Mishnah, the third parak, 17th Mishnah, Yud Zayin. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. If you don't have flour, you have no Torah. If you don't have a secure financial base for your growing family, which is the bedrock of Klal Yisrael, there's no future. There's no time. He comes back for that pach they left behind. He demonstrates that pach was necessary for the future nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. Now, others might be reluctant to jeopardize their very lives by remaining isolated, traveling alone for a pach katan. But Yankiv understood that every component of his family's Parnosa was important. Sadiqim chavivim alei mamonim migufa. Gemara Chulin Yud Aleph Tzadi Aleph Mamon Aleph. Unbelievable thing. He returns to Bachim Gdanim because for a tzaddik, money has more value than their bodies. Why? Because the money means ruchnias. The money means tuition. The money means Torah. The money means Yirah Shemayim, Chesed, Mitzvahs, Lulav Esrik, Matzah, Stoka. And that money is necessary as a bedrock of the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Seeing how significant every small jug was to Yankov Avinu, Sarei Shel Esav wants to compromise, he wants to weaken the financial base that would secure Yankov Avinu's family to thrive in Torah, in an environment of Torah. He succeeded in part. Listen to this. Where did he injure Yaakov? Where, people? Kaf Yerech, what is that? The thigh that supports the body. Zokta Zoyar, that he dealt a crushing blow to all those who would support Torah. Ayraisa Timochim, those that would support Torah. There are so many financial struggles that a yeshiva goes through, that a kollel goes through, that a shul goes through, that a girl's high school goes through, that every moisa that Torah of a chesed goes through. That comes from Esav. That comes from Sari Shel Esav, his malach who struck a crushing blow to the taimchei Torah. The yerach that is the support of a person's ability to walk, to progress, to achieve, to stand. But at the end of the day, Yankiv and all that he valued remained intact, wounded but very much alive. Chaim writes, this is kol. This is the financial underpinning of Yankiv Avinu's dreams. They survived. And even though Esav would continue its struggle until Eleis HaShachar, but it would constantly replenish itself. Hitli Yimach Shemai V'Zichroi, the descendants of Esav, the Nazis Yimach Shemai V'Zichroi, and all the cohorts of Edom. Wiped out the Gedolim, the Rebbes, the Rosh Hashivas, the Rabbonim, the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Ud Mutzal Me'ed, Eish, a couple of Rebbes, a couple of Rosh Hashivas, a couple of Rabbonim. But replenish the Levon of Ed Zion like the moon. Our calendar is based on a lunar calendar. Looks like we're gone and we reappear. The full glory of pre-war Europe. Nifla Nevelt. That's the ongoing struggle with Esav, but the Koyach of Kol, to replenish itself. The Greeks, they borrowed a page, I don't mean to be sacrilege, from Esav's playbook. They took a page from his playbook. They wanted the Super Bowl. They wanted the golden ring. They wanted to decimate Klal Yisrael. They too understood that to compromise the Jewish people, their body, their finances had to be dealt a mortal blow. As they said to Rambam, the Rambam says often in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, Pashtu Yodom B'Memainam. Why are they going after the financial base? Go after the Aron Kodesh at the Sifrei Torah. They Pashtu B'Memainam, B'Memainam, Pashtu Yodom B'Memainam, or whatever they say it, the money and the daughters. That was their strategy. By compromising the Jewish guilt, they were going to compromise the Jewish daughters as well. Send them into poverty. Force them into a life of negativity, of immorality. No better way, the Greeks reasoned, to weaken the infrastructure of Klal Yisrael's Kedusha than to destroy their economic base where the Torah thrives on it. Ein kemach in Torah. You want to have a yeshiva, you want to have Torah, you want to have a Rebbe, you got to pay. But how silly they were. The folly of the Greeks was the folly of Esau. You want to destroy the economic lifetime of Torah? It's not going to happen. It's the oil. It replenishes itself. It's coal. There was no oil left. A little jug of oil left for the menorah to last one night. No basis for the menorah to be lit. No basis to even think that it's worthwhile to start a process. It's over. Yet miraculously, the same jug of oil replenished itself night after night. According to many, that's exactly what happened. The oil burnt the entire day, and it replenished itself on the next day. It was lit at night, and by the next night, it replenished itself. Seven times it replenished itself. And the fact that oil burns is an S, says the morale. Or that they found the oil was an S, to answer the Beis Yosef's kasha. But listen to what we're saying. The mahus of the miracle of Derech Hanukkah, that's what we fixated on menorah. One out of the battle against the Yevonim, because the menorah represents it all. You will be replenished. Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Just a farokt? Your family's up in smoke in the crematorium. What are you bothering to get remarried? Why are you bothering to rebuild? Louis Malzmacher's mother was a skeleton of a girl when she survived the concentration camp. And before she parted her father, when the Nazis took her away and they took him to death, he told her, I have one tzivui for you. Marry a Jewish boy who puts on tefillin. Marry a Jewish boy who puts on tefillin. There was a young man who had escaped Europe earlier. And he was a Jewish boy. And he was in the American army. He was a sergeant in the army. And he was in a DP camp, a liberated concentration camp. And he pulls himself away from his troops, his squad, and he walks into an abandoned building, and he puts on his tefillin down and showers. This lady wandered into the building, and she saw a Jewish American soldier putting on tefillin. After he finished, this emaciated concentration camp inmate walks over to him and says, I want to marry you. He says, okay. And they decided to get married. The only problem was, the next morning, they took this lady and they put her on a train. Take her to another DP camp. And the sergeant sees her waving to him from the train. He runs to the train, and those on the train pulled him in through the window of the passenger car. And they were Louis Malzmacher's parents. Maury Shoestall in Cleveland, This was the Jewish soldier who put on tefillin, and he married this girl. That's the jug of oil. What is she bothering getting married again? She weighs 85 pounds. She has no life. Her parents are in the crematorium up in smoke. Only ashes scattered to the wind. What are you bothering? Because we're oil. And oil is replenished. And you know what happens when you step on sand? Sand buries the intruder. That's the mile of clouds. We're like sand. We bury. Where are the Romans? Where are the Babylonians? They don't exist anymore. Bottom line is, they picked themselves up, they brushed themselves off, rebuilt homes, built yeshivas, chadorim, batei kneisiyos, batei midrashos. Now we have Klal Yisrael, both in Eretz Yisrael, in Europe, in North America. That's the whole Yisrael. It's all about the oil. There's a connection between the oil of Yaakov Avinu, Vayivasi Yaakov Levadai, and the oil of the Chashmonoim, where they pull themselves together to remain alone. Hain Omri Vodod Yishkai. Hain is a Lashon Yechidi. The miracle with oil that separates when you try to mix it with other liquids and floats to the top, says the Sfasemis. The oil replenished itself. As Klal Yisrael continues to replenish themselves. That's coil. We have this bracha of Yeshli coil. Esav's Malach. The Yevonim were taught the financial underpinnings of the infrastructure of Klal Yisrael are never lost, always replenished. Who is supporting the Maestas today? We are. Amal, you walked into the Mirror Yeshiva. Like 100 plaques all over the place. Most of these people were nice, wonderful people that are going at Tzadik of Avram Kamenovich, Zech Tzadik of Racha, found. Most were not Shem Tar Mitzvahs. Many were not Shem Tar Mitzvahs. Who's supporting now? B'nai Torah. All of a sudden, the whole world is being supported by B'nai Torah. People that are successful financially. Where's this money coming from? What? They found the recipe to produce money, they got a money tree. Pashut k'rek, it's the Yesh Kol, out of nowhere. That's the common thread of the Pachim Katanim of Yaakov Avinu and the Kohen Gadol's oil, the fuel of Torah, even when threatened with extinction, comes back again. No nation chas v'shalom will annihilate us, despite the lengthy gullus. We learn from these two jugs of oil that the supporters of Torah will always remain in place, ready to contribute. Torah writes, "V'haftas Hashem alikecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol maidecha." With all of your resources, that means there will always be resources. How, what, when? I don't know. It's the Panav Yisharov. He'll explain it to you. How the Panav Yisharov Ud Mutzal Meyesh created Panav Yisharov, 1,000 Talmidim. And got financial support from all over the world. When was the last time Panovich came knocking at your door? When was the last time you had like a pushka from Panovich? A budget of tens of millions of dollars. There's financial support from all over the world, from South Africa. And I'm not suggesting that if you give them $50,000 a year, stop giving it. They need every penny. But you got to realize this was the Panovich Arav. He had a bracha of coil. Let me end with a story that happened in Shul today. It's Me'ein Kol. A boy walks in with his father to the 8 o'clock minyan and he lanes. Today was Boy Bayon. He got an aliyah. Father softly, softly said, Baruch Shem Tarani, that's the story. So after davening, the father comes over to me. We sang Ma'asim and Tavim Mazal Tov. And he says, the Rav knows who this boy is. No idea. So it reminds me, a couple years ago, I had to wear this boot. I don't know if you remember, I wore like a boot for a month or two, whatever it was, because of a toe, and Baruch Hashem, it all healed, everything's great, Chasdei Hashem. So I arranged to fly to Chicago to speak at an event. And I'd made up beforehand, the invitations were out, I couldn't tell them I'm not coming because I'm wearing a boot. And so, got on the plane, flew there, walked with the boot. And I have a Talmud of mine, a very close friend of our family, Yisrael Meir Schwartz, a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a wonderful Rebbe. And he asked me to come to his yeshiva in the morning to speak. Eric Crown, he's a wonderful day school, Shiva Ketana, Agarim Nasa Sifiko, went to the high school and elementary school. Is that so? So, the father tells me this story. Over the Kachava. I was supposed to talk about Hanukkah. But I didn't talk about Hanukkah, I talked about something else. I talked about Rebbetzin Manis, who lived in Cleveland. Her husband, Rav Hillel Manis, was a big Talmud Chacham and a tzaddik. She was one of the original Talmidos of Sarishnir. And Rebbetzin Manis used to go a few times a year from Wycliffe, where the yeshiva was, where she lived, to Cleveland Heights, to knock on doors collecting fitstuck. She comes in the snow. She's trudging through the snow. And she stops off by a friend of ours, Mrs. K., and says to Mrs. K., Rachel, how could you allow the seminary girl staying in your house in Eretz Yisrael to walk around with boots that are leaking? They're leaking. There are holes in the boots. She looks at her incredulously. Rabbi Tamaris could barely see. She had thick glasses. She couldn't even read the addresses on the houses. Rebbe said, Manis, how did you notice? I'm living in the house with her. How did you notice that her boots were leaky? She says, Sara Shnira taught us that before you look up, you got to look down. You want to look up, you got to first look down. I said over then at Eric Crown that there was a mice that the Maggid said over about an individual. His name was Mechel. And Mechel, after davening, is given a ranking out. A schmooze, a shtoch. One of the wealthy people in the city. You know, some people think they're wealthy, that entitles them. So he ranks them out in front of everybody. He says, Mechel, how is it you didn't stand during Vayvarach David? I saw you saying Vayvarach David sitting. So Mechel softly replies and he says, the fact that I didn't stand for Vayvarach David, that you noticed. But the fact that my feet are bloody and covered in rags, that you didn't notice. Said Sarah Schneer, and I'm saying this the perfect connection to her. Before you look up, you gotta look down. You want him to stand for the Vav David? Look if he even has shoes. Look what his feet's condition of it. So Mamela, she said, I look down before I look up. So she noticed that this girl had boots that were causing her feet to be frozen and soaked. So I said over to the boys. You know, about 200 boys here, wonderful, wonderful boys. And you all came over to me, and you welcomed me. Many boys came over and welcomed me. And one boy said to me, Refuah Shlema. I said, what? He had noticed that I was wearing, because of my toe, a bit of a funny looking shoe and boot. He said, Refuah Shlema. I said, this boy, he knows how to look down before he looks up. So after I finished my shmooze, 200 boys walk by, and every single one of them said, Refuah Shlema, Refuah Shlema, Refuah Shlema, every one of them. That was the story. And now, for the end of the story, like Pahlavi used to say, for the rest of the story, the father told me that this boy, Elisha, Dalva boy, but he was a little shy. He was doing okay. From that moment on, he became the belle of the ball. He became the most popular guy in the school. He had said, Refuah Shlema. That was the boy who lay in today. That was the boy who had his bar mitzvah. They made a wedding, and today was his bar yom, and the mother said, you're going to that Aguda, and you're going to daven with me. I had no idea it was coming. I came back to Shtangerach yesterday. I was in Minneapolis for of incredible people. I landed after 12 midnight. I didn't get home till after 1 a.m. And I was thinking maybe I'll daven earlier, maybe I'll daven later. Punk daven at my 8 o'clock minyan. And punk the boy came. And punk he got his aliyah and he leaned. I wish the mazda would give him a bracha. The merida gemaisa is this is oil people. It replenishes itself. And it doesn't take a lot. It's a pach shemen. Did I realize that by saying anything, I would change his life? Did he realize that by saying Refuah Shleimah it would change his life? Did my Talmud, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Schwartz, by inviting me to speak at the yeshiva with this father, Rabbi Cohen, who's also a Rebbe of the fifth grade, that it would set things in motion? We're all involved in the Pach Shemen. And that's the way to win. You're not going to go out and scream at the top of your lungs, Hashem Olikim. That's reserved for Yom Kippur. You don't do it every day. You don't climb top of the Empire State Building, jump off and scream Hashem Olikim. What we do is we replenish that Pach Shemen. The Pach Shemen that Yankee Vito retrieved, fought for, that Klal Yisrael banded together in Am Levadad Yishkain, and went to war to identify who we are, and the Pach Shemen that we have within ourselves, and that we fight every single day against the Yetzer Hara to get up on time. There was a Taira Yid, his name was Rabbi Florence Zatzal, and he used to say, the alarm clock with the snooze button, that's the epitome of HaKol Kol Yankiv VaYadayim Yedayesev. The alarm goes off, HaKol Kol Yankiv, and the Yadayim hit the snooze button, noch on 8 minutes, Yadayim Yedayesev. You're going to be able to win. And we are winning. Hashem's own self, and that we should yizrech the Dorosh Mivirochim, and realize that the Pach Shemen that we use today for the financial support of Torah, of Mitzvahs, of Chesed, will be replenished, and the struggles that we battle today and overcome will help our children 10 generations from now to keep on lighting the menorah. We should be zeicha, light the menorah of Chanukah, and b'siyata nishmaya, the menorah of Yerushalayim with the coming of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshiach Tzidkenu, Merav Yameinu.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.